We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, and Charlamagne the God.
Well, y'all done came a long way.
I think that y'all have a certain amount of respect for, you know, what everybody else does, and y'all are just the best at what y'all do.
This platform, the reach y'all have that you've earned, makes space for somebody like me.
You guys have a direct line to the culture.
Oh, my God, I'm on the radio with Angela, Charlamagne, and DJ Envy?
Damn. Yes, you are. Hey.
All I do is read about the Breakfast Club.
Really?
Every morning,
that's good.
You guys are trending. Every, you know, I drag my ass out of bed. I'm like, what happened on the Breakfast Club today? Get your
ass up. Good morning, USA.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
How's your voice, Charlamagne?
You say what?
I don't know. You all right over there?
Yeah, my voice is fine. All What's right. happening?
What up, Charlamagne?
Peace to the planet. It's Monday.
Yes, it's Monday. Back to the work week. Good morning.
That's right. That fake warm weather. Okay? Yesterday was the first day of spring, but I still can't tell where we at up here in New York City. Damn it.
It was beautiful, and I was in Baltimore during the week. It was like 70-something degrees. The sun was out. I was sweating.
Lord,
I was
have
like,
mercy.
This is amazing.
Yeah, it's that fake warm weather. It's that weather. It's that pneumonia weather.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I don't even know if it's really that pneumonia weather. I just used to hear old people say that.
Weather.
I used to hear old people say that when I was young, mm-hmm. So I say it now. You know what I mean? When it's, mm-hmm. when it's you don't really know if it's warm, so you leave the house not quite dressed right.
Correct.
You know, so it's still chilly out. That's when that pneumonia get in your ass. So the old people say. So I say it now.
All right. How was everybody's weekend? I know you had an event in Detroit, right?
Well, yeah. First, I was in Baltimore at Coppin State University. So mm-hmm. shout out to them. And I went to this restaurant called Black Swan, this black-owned restaurant that just opened a few months ago. It was really, really amazing. Loved it. And then I went to Detroit, and I had my one-year anniversary for my store, Private Label Extensions, and we had a wholesale day. So I was all over the place. And I went to Central Kitchen there, where I always go when I'm in Detroit, because they sell my coffee there too. So shout out to them.
All right. Now, Charlamagne, you a cheer dad this weekend?
Yes, sir. You know my life. Okay. Salute to Providence, Rhode Island. I was in Providence, Rhode Island for my daughter's cheerleading competition. Drop on the clues bomb to Providence, Rhode Island. Nice city, man.
That's where my brother went to college.
Really?
To, Brown University.
I like the energy in Providence, Rhode Island. Nice, peaceful. Well, at least I'm not going to sit here and say it's peaceful. Where I was at was peaceful. I don't know if it's peaceful or not.
Sir,
I have
artsy.
No idea. It is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I ate at this spot called Ken. Salute to Ken, man. Dropping the clues bombs for Ken. Julia is the owner of Ken. I love her story. She's one of those individuals who got laid off during COVID
mm-hmm.
and got tired of getting laid off.
Found a way.
So she decided to, you know, be an entrepreneur. She opened up this soul food spot called Ken. And her mother, her great-grandmother is from South Carolina. And her name was Julie. And it's black-owned. So that's why I decided to go eat there.
Okay.
And I enjoyed it. Thoroughly.
Yes. Alrighty. Well, let's get the show cracking, man. Front page news, what are we talking about?
Oh, well, Dr. Fauci, let's see what he's saying about COVID. Y'all were saying you haven't been hearing about it too much.
We don't care about you, Fauci.
But we'll tell you what
it's
he has to say.
It's almost Frank Focci. We're not listening to you. He's definitely not about to listen to Dr.
Focci.
And
he
Focci
might be
right
about to retire.
He needs to.
All right.
I'm tired of hearing from you. Sorry.
We'll get into all that when okay we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
What's happening?
Let's get in some front page news. Now, over the weekend, we got to congratulate LeBron. He is now number 2 on the all-time scoring list on the, in the NBA.
Big deal.
Mm-hmm. Diving LeBron, and there it is.
There it is.
The kid from Akron, LeBron James, has come into the nation's capital and has passed the mailman, Karl Malone, and is now number 2 all-time in scoring in the history of the NBA.
Well, congratulations to LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Big deal.
All right. What else we got, Yeezy?
All right. Well, Dr. Fauci is saying that these COVID cases will likely increase soon. He said not necessarily hospitalizations, but he's paying attention to what's going on in the UK, which is seeing a blip in cases. Here is what Dr. Fauci had to say.
Well, right now we continue to come down in a steady decrement of cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. There's no doubt about that. However, what we're seeing in Europe and particularly in the UK, they are starting to see a reversal and a resurgence of cases. So even though our cases are continuing to come down, then we might well see an increase in cases. Hopefully that's not translated into an increase in hospitalization and severe.
Well, he also said it's not clear how long immunity from prior infections will last, and he urged Americans who haven't yet gotten their first booster, which is like your third shot of Pfizer or Moderna, to go ahead and get that booster. Now, he also appeared to dismiss plans for retirement because people were saying that he was planning to retire, and there was some buzz about that when he said on ABC's Start Here podcast, he said, I have said that I would stay in what I'm doing until we get out of the pandemic phase, and I think we might be there already. But now he's saying he's not so sure. He said, I want to make sure we're really out of this before I really seriously consider doing anything different. We're still in this. We have a way to go.
Hey, man, nobody want to hear from Fauci right now. Okay, Fauci like the groundhog, okay? When the groundhog don't see his shadow, what that mean? When it continues, right?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
We don't want to hear from him. He's like the groundhog right now. Okay. Whether he see it. We just don't want to see you, Dr. Fauci. Spring about to start. Okay?
Yeah. Don't feel like it.
And when would they announce, just look, at some point you're going to have to get an annual COVID shot?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that just makes more logical sense than keep telling people to get 4 shots and 5 shots and 6 shots. Just at some point, just say, hey, look, man, you know, we don't know how long the vaccine lasts, so you're probably going to have to get annual COVID shots, like you get flu shots.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that make more logical sense?
You're going to get 2 shots a year or whatever it is, yep.
I believe they're still trying to develop something that will be effective against all the different variants. Because right now they try to develop these shots based on the variants.
The variants keep changing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, 3 people were wounded on a Miami Beach street crowded with spring breakers. And this happened early Sunday. They said that gunfire broke out about 12:15 a.m. on Ocean Drive. There's a video on social media that shows the police driving down the crowded street, the sirens and lights flashing, and then 4 shots rang out. So thousands of college students and other young people are there for spring break already.
That's on the Strip, right?
Mm-hmm, Ocean.
Yeah, and the crazy part about it, I think they just opened that back up maybe a month ago or 2 months ago because it was closed for a minute.
Yeah, because things had gotten a little crazy.
Mm-hmm. Don't they shoot the area this time of year, though? Isn't it always a shooting?
It does seem like a shooting, but they closed it down so there's no more car driving down there. You can only walk down there. It was more police presence, but I guess they opened it back up.
I'm just shocked it's a headline. I feel like I always hear about shootings every time it's spring break.
4 people were wounded in a shooting in Austin, Texas, and this is right by where all the South by Southwest festivities were happening. So the Austin Police Department had told people to stay away from that area at around 2:50 a.m. It was several bars, and you know, they did tweet that a suspect was in custody, and that was shortly before 5 a.m. that they found that person. And one person was killed and 28 wounded, including children, in a shooting at a car show in Arkansas. So police did identify the person killed as 23-year-old Cameron Schaefer of Jacksonville, Arkansas. They said there was no indication that he was involved in the act of shooting itself. So state police had said that there were 24 people wounded in the incident.
Well, happy Monday, guys.
Mm-mm-mm.
All right. What a way to start the week off.
I know, guys. Sorry.
All right. Well, that's front page news. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you had a great weekend and you want to tell everybody. Maybe you had a bad weekend. It doesn't matter. 800-585-1051. Get it off your chest. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you've got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
Yes, good morning. This is Ryan from Fly Arts and Brushes.
Hey, Ryan, what's happening? Fly Arts and Brushes, what's happening?
Hey, how you guys doing, Breakfast Club?
Blessed, black, and highly favored.
Right, right. You know, so I want to acknowledge that, you know, today would have been Biggie's 50th birthday had he survived, you know?
Yep.
I thought Biggie's birthday was in May. Yeah.
Nice. Today, you know, so to celebrate, we did
I don't know about that one, guys.
Let me see.
How do y'all New Yorkers be May? It's May 21st.
It's May 21st.
Shut up!
It's today.
No, it's May.
All right, man. I'm not arguing with you about this.
It is what. All right, you know what, Charlamagne? You could be right this one time. But anyway, check out our.
This is just so silly. And Envy was ready to ride with it.
For no,
and we're not editing that. I want people to know how un-New York you are. You are so Queens, okay?
I am so Queens.
And you from Brooklyn. You're supposed to correct that on the spot.
I didn't All right. Anything.
Biggie's born day is May 21st, and he died on March 9th. You're supposed to know that.
Hello. Good morning. Who's this?
Hey, good morning. This is Martin, Colorado.
Hey, get it off your chest.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about this whole war in Ukraine. This is crazy. Putin has NATO and the U.S. in a bad spot right now because I don't see this ending in a good way.
Bro, we already in World War III, bro.
It's already not good, even if it ended now.
In World War III right now.
Ukraine can push back Russia, but at the end of the day, Russia still got nukes, and if Russia wants to do something, they can just drop it on Ukraine, put the ball in NATO's court.
That's right.
It's already in Ukraine, so it's like, what's NATO going to do?
Brother, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I think it's a shame when you see all the civilians' homes getting bombed and the hospitals and the kids dying.
Yeah, it is.
And the crazy part is America intelligence is already saying they think Russia's going to lean into the nuclear threat as the invasion drags on. So it's almost like it's just, I hate to use this term, but it's like a sitting time bomb. You just it's inevitable. And it's like, what do? You just wait for them to do it?
Yeah.
Because you don't want to strike first because you don't want to be the person that allegedly sets off World War III. World War III set already.
But they were saying even if they do fire the missiles, we won't know really until the missile actually hits if it has a nuclear warhead on it or nothing, which is crazy. Hello, who's this?
Hey, good morning. My name is Nick. How y'all doing, man?
What's
hey,
up, Nick? Get it off your chest.
Hey, Nick.
All right. I just want to give positive vibes this morning, tell everybody it's a great day. You know, I got up with my kids this morning, about to sit them on the bus to school. I'm going to start my job in about an hour here. Everybody have a blessed day. God is great.
Okay,
you too now.
Won't he do
Blessings,
it?
Brother.
All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up, wake up.
Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest.
Damn.
Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, Butterscotch Butt Envy. Big
chocolate
to toast sucker. How
are
we feeling today,
everybody? Butterscotch Butt Envy. Damn, you can only say that if you've had a taste.
That's it. So listen,
that's very descriptive.
All right, can you be quiet a minute there, Half a Brain, Charlamagne? Two quick things. A shout out to the Scorpion Restaurant and Foxwoods Hotel Casino. Had a great time there. And two, let's say God bless the people of Ukraine, right? I can't stand this guy, Putin. So, Envy, I need you to put a hot beat behind my Putin song, right? It goes, Putin, Putin, we hate you.
God.
You're worse than coronavirus times two. And the only thing that stinks worse than you is when Charlamagne passes gas around two.
I wouldn't even compare. I wouldn't even compare Putin to coronavirus because Putin let off one of them nuclear warheads. You'd be begging for coronavirus.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, it's your boy Joe from New Haven, Connecticut.
Hey, Joe.
What up, Joe? Get it off your chest.
Hey, listen, I just want to tell you, good morning, DJ Envy, Angela, Charlamagne. I just want to let y'all know why I'm blessed this morning and why God is great.
Go ahead, brother.
Well, number one, I'm on dialysis. I'm legally blind. I just had surgery done, so only thing I got left on my hands is my thumbs, and my right side of my toes is all cut off.
Damn.
And what I think of why I'm blessed, because it can always be worse than what it is. God give me the strength every morning to keep pushing. And, I have a son, a 16-year-old son, and I strive for him. Even though he sees me the predicament that I'm in, I still want him to know that, you know, I'm a strong person and keep it moving, and God is good, God is great.
That's right.
And I just want to let people know out there that, you know, it is always going to be worse than what it is.
Hey, man, I'm sending you all the healing energy in the world, brother. And I love your outlook on life, brother.
You know, listen, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't know what I do. I pray to God every morning, every night, and, you know, I wake up like ain't nothing wrong.
Him or her. God is just God.
It doesn't even matter.
That's right.
All right, brother.
You know, and listen, and I also want to say, Charlamagne, I wish that I could sit here and say send some books, but I go to the audio books. So if you have anything around the office you want to, you know, send away, because I know that office getting crowded, you know, you definitely send it off.
I got you. What you want? I got all kind of stuff in here.
Hey, listen, anything, coffee mugs, whatever, you know, whatever you feel like, you know, that you need to clean up that room, I have no problem helping you guys out. DJ Envy, name your car show, whatever you want to name it. And and Angela, I just want to know your coffee. Mm-hmm. Do you sell them in K-Cups?
No, it's only the actual beans, or you can get it ground.
Okay. But like I just said, I just want to say God bless y'all this morning, and I hope you have a good morning and find some cheap gas.
All right, hold on, all right?
Good luck with the cheap gas.
Yes, thank you. I'll hold on.
Get it off your chest. He's on line 9, 800-585-1051. We got rumors on the way?
Yes, and let's talk about Kanye. He was pulled from the 2022 Grammys performance lineup, and we'll tell you how Trevor Noah has reacted because he's hosting.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
All right, well, the 64th annual Grammy Awards are happening April 3rd in Vegas at the MGM Grand, and Kanye was supposed to perform, but he has been pulled from the lineup. Now, Grammy organizers have not responded to outlets' requests for comment, but they said that it's because of his recent social media activity. Trevor Noah is hosting the awards, and some people said it was because of him, and he said on Twitter, "I said counsel Kanye, not cancel Kanye." If you remember, they had a bit of a back and forth because of some things that Trevor Noah said about Kanye, about how Kim Kardashian is one of the richest women in the world and she's unable to get her ex to stop texting her, to stop chasing after her, to stop harassing her. And he said it's terrifying to watch what she's going through.
Well, Trevor said what he said, and what he said was correct. And, you know, Kanye has been running around here saying and doing what he wants, and he cannot tell people how to react to that. If the Grammys don't want him to perform, then guess what? He earned that.
Now, they're saying that it's not a surprise to Kanye's team. They were not surprised by that decision at all.
And also, don't you think Kanye and his team are using this for attention? Because he wasn't even announced as a Grammy performer. Nobody would have known he wasn't performing if he didn't say something. And I don't think it was smart to release that information because it's probably going to lead to other people, you know, doing the same thing. They didn't even announce Kanye as a Grammy performer yet.
I think the Game announced he was taking off, right? Wasn't it the Game?
Yeah, but I'm saying the Grammys never announced he was performing.
Mm-mm.
So why even put that information out there? Nobody would even have known that if y'all didn't put that out there.
All right. Well, he also has 5 nominations for this year's ceremony, including Best Rap Album and Album of the Year for Donda.
But you got to understand the Grammys. They just don't want no problems, especially with Trevor Noah hosting. They don't want no problems.
I don't even think it's about Trevor. I think they just don't trust Kanye on a live stage.
And
There's no telling what Kanye might say on a live stage. He might, you know. Who knows? Who knows what Kanye will say at this point?
And I completely understand.
All right. Well, Trevor Noah had also posted, "Don't ever forget the biggest trick racists ever played on black people was teaching us to strip each other of our blackness whenever we disagree. I don't care if you support Trump and I don't care if you roast Pete. I do, however, care when I see you on a path that's dangerously close to peril and pain."
I'm going to be honest. Everybody says Kanye was using a racial slur towards Trevor. I don't think he was using a racial slur. I just don't think Kanye can spell. I think he was trying to spell out "Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya," and he put in "coon." I'm telling you,
no.
I don't think he even meant it as a racial slur. You know, I just don't think he can spell.
No.
I'm telling you, because "Kumbaya" means what? Peace, right?
Yeah, it's a song.
Yeah, I really think he meant to type out "Kumbaya"
instead of "coon." Kumbaya.
He spelled it coon. It's Kumbaya, not right. Coon.
Now, the game has defended Kanye after the Grammys have pulled him as a performer. He said, when will all the black entertainers, athletes, actors, producers, writers, directors, media, etc., figure it out? Time and time again, they show us that they only want to steal the culture, not allow you to ever be their equals, in a more than obvious move for reasons of minuscule actions. The Grammys have at the last minute decided to pull Kanye from performing on the show as if we didn't know it was coming. Could be because Trevor Noah is hosting and there was a conversation held amongst his team and the Academy that led to the decision, or because Ye's account was suspended just days ago for reasons unknown, especially in a world where all the negativities of the world can be found on the same app with no repercussions or suspensions.
This has nothing to do with race. What Game is saying is right, right? But it's nuance to it. Like, this has nothing to do with race in the case of Kanye. At what point do we as grown men hold each other accountable for our behavior? What Kanye has been doing is wrong. If y'all love that man, tell him relax, get it together before he actually loses something that's, you know, jeopardizes his livelihood.
There's a lot of people that's been saying he's wrong. You mean people on his team?
Yes.
People close to
him. Don't blame the don't call the Grammys. I mean, listen, we know the Grammys are notoriously racially biased, but come on, this isn't one of those times.
All right, now Maury Povich has announced he's retiring after 31 seasons of Maury. This show originally premiered in 1991 called The Maury Povich Show, and we all know it's famous for those paternity tests, but news broke that it's not coming back, and so it'll complete its run of original episodes in September of this year, and then it will not return for another season. Now, reps from NBC Universal confirmed the news to Today via email, and they shared a statement from Maury. 6 years ago, when I was ready to retire, my NBC Universal family asked me to continue the show, even though I told them I was ready for assisted living. Out of loyalty to NBC Universal and my more than 100 staff and crew members, Tracy Wilson and I agreed to one more deal. I'm so proud of my relationship with NBC Universal and all those who worked on The Maury Show. But as I occasionally tell my guests on Maury, enough already.
Oh, Maury's been around for 30 years. Maury ain't missing no meals. Okay. Yeah.
He'll be A-OK.
And I'm sure he's
ready. As he said, he's over it. He's ready to retire. So he had a really great run. All right. Well, that is your rumor report.
All right. Kanye never ceases to amaze me, though. He just doesn't.
How'd you get back to Kanye?
I just was thinking about it. Because this is what they do. They conflate two issues, right? Yes, the Grammys are notoriously racist, racially biased, right? But what that got to do with how Kanye's been acting?
Nothing.
You know what I'm
Nothing
saying?
At all.
Like, it's so...
It's something that we've been saying
they
for a
do
long
it
time
all
here.
The time. They conflate two issues, and it psychologically tricks people. You know what I mean? To make it seem like Kanye's the victim, and he's being done wrong, and nobody ever holds him accountable for his actions, when the reality is, no, he earned this.
All right. Well, we got front page news next. What are we talking about?
Yes, and let's talk about China providing money and humanitarian aid to Ukraine. We'll tell you about that.
All right. We'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
I teamed up with Zyrtec for this allergy relief message. Springtime brings vibrancy to the air and pollen, so I take Zyrtec when allergy symptoms start. Save the tissues and live vibrantly with Zyrtec. Starts working at hour one and stays strong day after day.
All right. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. All right, let's get in some front page news. Where are we starting, Yeezy?
All right. Well, China is providing some more humanitarian aid to Ukraine based on the development of the situation and actual needs. They're providing another $1.57 million to Ukraine. Now, Joe Biden had a two-hour call Friday morning with the president of China, and they said that supporting Russia's invasion of Ukraine would have severe consequences for Beijing, according to White House officials. Here is White House Secretary Jen Psaki explaining what happened.
The president spent the vast majority of the nearly 2 hours was spent with the president outlining the views of the United States and our allies and partners on this crisis, including a detailed overview of efforts to prevent and then respond to the invasion, how we got here, steps we've taken, where we've gone, and why. He also conveyed and described the implications and consequences if China provides material support to Russia. But again, I'm not going to provide any additional assessment.
Why doesn't the president of China just pick up the phone and call Putin and tell Putin, if you don't stop this, then our alliance is off?
I don't think that they necessarily are condemning what's happening with Putin and Russia.
I mean, they gave aid to Ukraine. That kind of showed that they're on the side of Ukraine, right?
They're saying they hope that things can solve the crux of the Ukraine crisis, but they still will not go against Vladimir Putin. And China and the United States have been having really tense relationships in the past few months. And China and Russia have a great relationship with each other. It's China is Russia's top trade partner.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So why doesn't the president of China just pick up the phone and tell Putin, you know, knock it off?
That's what the United States was hoping could happen, but
I don't understand any of this. Like, none of this makes any sense to me. Because you can't tell me that you're on my side, but you're giving, you know, money to my op.
Doesn't make sense.
Like, I don't get it.
All of it doesn't make sense.
I don't understand geopolitical politics at all.
Zelensky said that he's ready to negotiate with Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia, but he warned that if any negotiation attempts fail, it could mean the fight between the two countries would lead to a third world war. He said, I'm ready for negotiations with him. I was ready for the last 2 years, and I think that without negotiations, we cannot end this war. If there's just 1% chance for us to stop this war, I think that we need to take this chance. We need to do that. I can tell you about the results of these negotiations. In any case, we are losing people on a daily basis, innocent people on the ground.
Yeah, World War III is going to be inevitable. Okay, so all you rappers might as well start making your World War IV songs. You've been making World War III songs for decades now. You might as well switch it to World War IV, because World War III is upon us, if it's not already here.
All right, and then in South Carolina, they have given the green light to firing squad executions. And they said that renovations have been completed on the death chamber in Columbia and that the agency had notified the attorney general that it was able to carry out a firing squad execution. That sounds crazy.
It does sound crazy, but you know, all death penalties sound crazy.
I totally disagree with the death penalty.
Yeah, the electric chair sounds crazy. The lethal injection sounds crazy. So it's like, okay, you add firing squad to the list. It's like, you know, I'm like, okay. All death penalties sound diabolical to me. What do I know?
Right. I mean, which do you choose? If, like, do you have a choice when you're on, when they tell you, like,
that's
you get
a good
the death
question.
I don't know. If you choose which one do you want.
I think it's based on the state, right?
I think sometimes you can choose because sometimes a lot of people get lethal injections, right?
Man, listen.
Because who wants to get shocked?
Maybe.
Who wants to get electrocuted in a damn electric chair?
That's what I said. Who wants to get shocked?
They said shocked. No. I thought you said shocked.
And would you want that to be your job, where you're the person that actually has to execute people?
I'm sure they enjoy it.
I mean, that's terrible.
You would have to enjoy it to do that.
But I thought, don't get me wrong, in some places, maybe the family of the person that it was affected by, something like that, can do it or something. I have no idea. I could be making that up.
The reason I don't like the death penalty is because it's just too much room for error. Like, you're not going to, I know thousands of innocent people have gotten the death penalty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And there's no going back from that.
That's
sorry.
What I'm saying. Like, you can't just say sorry. At least if you've been locked up for 20-something years, we see all of the time people get exonerated because mistakes were made, things like that. But with the death penalty, there's no coming back.
And then if you say that killing people is wrong, then how do you kill people? If you're saying that's wrong, you completely know
without a doubt, like if somebody killed one of my kids or one of my family members, I don't care. Let them die. Let them fry. Let them get shot. I don't care. If you killed one of my family members, like some of these mass murderers that do it, and I'm supposed to have sympathy for you now.
You can't have life in jail, though?
No, yeah, die.
I'm going to be honest with you. Life in jail probably worse, bro.
Yeah, I would think so.
Life in jail probably worse.
Live and suffer, but I wouldn't feel comfortable wanting someone to get killed, period. It just wouldn't rest easy on me.
I think it would rest easy if me and somebody killed one of my kids. I'm not in that situation, so I don't know, but if somebody killed one of my kids, I would want them to die.
I would want you to be punished forever, but I don't know. All right, that is your front page news.
I just don't
believe in the death penalty.
I don't know how I feel about the death penalty. I can't say I don't believe in it, but I see a lot of the flaws.
There's a lot of flaws, but if it's without a doubt and somebody killed one of your family members, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, no, I want them to die. I would want to kill them myself. That's just how I feel.
I just know things like that never work for us.
No.
You know what I mean?
And you know that the people who do get the death penalty, a lot of times it's because they don't have money for the right lawyer.
Yep.
A lot of times it's, you know, the jury. A lot of different things come into play.
That's what I said.
Negatively affects our community.
Without a doubt?
Yep.
I don't know. All right, well, that is front page news. When we come back, Jabari Banks will be joining us.
Tell the people who Jabari Banks is. You've been watching the Bel Air show on Peacock?
FYI, that show is really good.
I keep hearing that.
Yeah, I think it's 8 episodes so far, and I binge watched it. It was really good.
Well, he plays Will Smith in Bel Air.
And he's doing a great job on there.
Yep, and we're going to talk to him today.
You're going to talk to Jabari Banks.
All right, so don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, indeed.
From Bel Air, we have Jabari Banks. Welcome.
Yep. What's going on?
How you feeling, my brother?
I'm great, man. How y'all?
Man, blessed, black, and highly favored.
Yeah, exactly. Blessed to be here. Blessed to be with y'all. This is incredible.
That's right. Congrats on the success of Bel Air thus far.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
Did you feel a lot of pressure having to play such an iconic role?
Yeah, definitely the pressure. But, you know, many talks with Will, many talks with Morgan Cooper, our creator, and, you know, they just reminded me to just be me, you know, bring myself to the role. And, you know, it's exactly what Will was doing when he was being the Fresh Prince in the 90s, you know what I mean? He wasn't trying to be nobody else, so that's what I had to do.
How'd you get into acting?
I got into acting in high school, and I sort of, you know, was just like dallying around, and then I went to college for it because my mom needed me to go to college, and I was like, I'll go to college for acting, and then...
Where are you from?
I'm from Philly and I'm from Maryland.
I grew up in both places. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And
West Philadelphia, born and raised.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy because I lived in West Philly with my uncle Phil.
Wow.
But his name is James.
Get the fuck out of here, Jabari. Stop. Hold on.
Listen. His name is James. James Brogan, right?
Yeah, okay.
But we called him Phil because he lived in Philly, and I lived with him for a long time. And so
that's wild, because you know Uncle Phil's real name was
James Avery.
James Avery.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of instances within the show, not just me, with everybody in the cast. You know what I mean? That kind of like intertwined them with the story. But I went to school in Philly at University of the Arts, and then I fell in love with it then.
So did you tell people that story, like growing up being from Philly and having an uncle named Phil?
It didn't make sense. I mean, it didn't really register. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't really tripping off of it until everything clicked, and then it was like, oh wow, like every part of my life has sort of led up to this.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
Now, you were a Fresh Prince fan, I'm assuming.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay, all right.
Now, according to the PhillyVoice.com, the director, Morgan Cooper, he had a $25,000 budget to do a feature film teaser for Bel Air with different actors. So how did that turn into this is going to be a show?
Well, so basically, you know, Morgan put the trailer out, out of a pure place. You know what I mean? He was just like, I love the Fresh Prince. I want to see this. I want to tell the story that I want to tell, you know? And he took that and he put it on YouTube. And I think within the first day, Will's company, Westbrook, they hit him up, and you know, they were like, we want to, you know, talk with you and develop this thing. And you know, I think a couple weeks after that, he was sitting with Will and he was talking about, you know, where we want to take this story. And, you know, years down the line, here we are.
Totally different tone, though.
Totally different tone.
What did you think when you saw that?
Yeah, break that down. Break down, if people haven't seen the show, the differences between what we seen as a kid, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and
right.
Bel-Air.
Yeah, well, you know, Bel-Air 2022 version is a dramatic retelling of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the quintessential 90s sitcom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's all the characters that we know and love, but basically we get to dive deep into who they are and the actual stories that are going on in their lives. And, you know, it's a modern day retelling of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, basically. Mm-hmm. And when you think of the story, you know, our showrunner, TJ Brady, he said it perfectly. He was like, we all know the story of the Joker, you know what I mean? But when we see Joaquin Phoenix do what he was doing, it was like, did you really think about it? You know what I mean? And like, we get to see the story. We get to see how Will ends up in Bel-Air. And it's going to be super exciting for, like, old fans and new fans. And, man, it's been crazy, the love around the project. Yeah.
Were you afraid to turn something that, I guess, was so happy? So I'll call it bright. I'll call Fresh Prince of Bel-Air bright. Were you afraid to turn something like that dark?
Nah, I wasn't afraid of it. Because when I had seen Morgan's trailer, I was like, oh, I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. And I was like, watch that. You know what I mean? And so I think it's important because it's a reflection of our world. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think, you know, it's important to see that.
How hands-on was Will Smith during the taping and all that?
I always say this. It was great that he wasn't, because he really gave us, he really left our retelling and our creation of these characters to our own volition. You know what I mean? And so that allowed us to create these, you know, characters that ourselves are in, you know what I mean? He didn't have his thumb on it, hella, you know what I mean? And so I feel like that's what I appreciated about him. But, you know, he definitely gave us a lot of tips.
What about the other characters, Carlton and all them? Did any of them come on set? Or
we had a few talks with the original cast, so it was definitely a blessing to get their blessing and to see that torch pass, you know what I mean?
I always wonder, you know, if and I would love to ask Will this, but maybe he told you, I wonder would he have played that character differently now, because, you know, he's older now, and he always said that back then he was pretending to be somebody he wasn't.
Right, right.
So I wonder would he play that, approach that character different now?
Definitely. Yeah. I feel, you know, like when he was, you know, doing the Fresh Prince thing, he had no acting chops at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so he was just kind of up there just trying to figure it out. And I definitely think knowing what he knows now, it definitely would have been different, but it wouldn't have been as raw.
So you got acting chops, so you weren't doing what Will, because he said Will used to be saying everybody's lines.
It was a little different for me. It was a little different for me because I was a theater actor.
Oh.
And so this is my first time being in front of a camera, in front of a 40-person, you know, camera crew. And so that was definitely a learning curve for sure.
How did they discover you?
I just sent in my audition. I had a manager, I had an agent that I got through a showcase.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they sent me the call. They were like, yo, there's this show called Bel-Air, and for this character Will, and I was like, hold on, Bel-Air, Will, what? And then I saw the call, and I was like, okay, I could do this. I knew it was me. I just had to prove to everybody else, but I thought that they wanted, like, a big name. You know what I mean? I thought that they wanted somebody who was recognizable to everybody else, and so I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get this role, but, you know what I mean, I just had to surrender to the whole process, and so I sent him my call, and a couple weeks down the line.
What did you have to do on that first tape? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was a couple of scenes. It was a couple of scenes. It was actually a scene with LeBron in it. Mm-hmm. LeBron was supposed to be in the first episode.
Really?
But, you know, it was, you know, budget and, you know.
Well, he was supposed to be playing one of the people you were playing ball against?
No. He was supposed to be at a Bel-Air party. He was like, yo, that's LeBron.
Oh, gotcha.
I mean? So I did a scene where LeBron was in it. As soon as I read the scenes, when I first got the script, I was like, oh, this show has something to say.
Expound on the surrendering to the process.
Yeah, for me, as an artist, we're always fighting against something when you're like an upcoming artist. You know what I mean? It's either like time, money, or resources. You understand? Mm-hmm. And so it always felt like there was a push and pull with me. It was like, I wish I could do this, but I need this, or I wish I could do this, but I need that. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get where I'm going to get, but I felt myself getting there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you know, because when it comes to like opportunity, like it really just like, a lot of the times, like, I feel that, you know, it's about, like, someone, like, reaching down sometimes and, like, being, like, giving this person, like, okay, I see you and I see your talent. I'm going to take a chance on you. And I didn't know how I was going to get to that point. So I remember there was a point in time where I was walking around this track in North Philly, the Temple's campus that I found. And I was studying my lines for the script, right? Mm-hmm. And there was a bee that flew across my face. And a lot of the times when bugs, like, fly across me, I'm like, get close to me. I'm like, eh. I swat. You know, I tense up. When there's cold water, I tense. You know what I mean? I want to stick a toe in. And I was like, I'm going to surrender to the universe, to nature. And I'm just going to. And that was like a big learning lesson for me throughout the whole process. It was like, I don't know how I'm going to do it. Like, you know what I mean? And that's okay.
Wow.
I'm okay with not knowing. You know what I mean? Because like now, like it's not in my hands. It's in the universe's hands. It's in God's hands. Whatever you believe. You know what I mean? And just knowing that gives you peace. And so through that, I was able to just focus on me, because I feel like a lot of times as artists, you know, like, you know, the comparison is the thief of joy, basically. You know what I mean? And so when you see yourself auditioning, you're like, oh, nah, he got more to look. You know what I mean? Or he got more acting chops, or he's done more things than me. You know what I mean? And so you sort of just start tearing yourself down in that way, which was, I was blessed enough because it was over Zoom that I didn't have to see the competition.
Gotcha.
So it was just me versus me. Gotcha. And so I just surrendered to the whole process, and I was like, I don't know. I was okay with not knowing.
How long did you let the beat sit there?
Nah, I it was flying. It was just buzzing.
Okay.
I was
like, you know what I mean? Sat on your face.
Nah, it sat on my face.
It flew by,
but it was hovering. You know how bees be. You know what I mean? They just be around.
You just weren't scared.
Yeah, I wasn't scared. I was just like, I'm just keep walking, doing me. You know what I mean? And that was just a big learning lesson for me. Like, I'll never forget that day.
Dope.
All right, we have more with Jabari Banks. He plays Will Smith in the new series, Bel-Air. We'll talk to him some more. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Jabari Banks. He's the actor that plays Will Smith in the new Bel-Air series.
Yeah.
Now, with Bel-Air, are they recreating episodes that were done? Because there's so many iconic episodes. Like,
you know,
the father episode.
Right.
The pool hall episode. The drugs episode.
Yeah.
Like, are they recreating or they're doing new episodes?
They're doing new episodes, but they're recreating moments, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, moments that are recognizable, they're gonna be like, oh, okay. So if you've seen the pilot episode, there's a moment where Will is on the plane and there's a glass full of OJ, you know, champagne glass full of OJ. And that's just a callback to the original song, you know? And gotcha. There's just moments, little small moments like that, that are gonna get the audience hyped. I mean, the OG fans, you know what I mean?
Did you have to learn how to rap, or did you know how to rap? Did you have that part done?
No, I was a rapper before I was an actor.
Oh, you was a rapper. Okay, yeah. So you rap. What was your rap name?
Big Bank. No, I've been through many rap names. I used to call myself Indy the Philosopher. Actually, Jabari Banks is my rap name.
Don't say that fast. We want to slow that down, too.
Indy the Philosopher.
Hey, Bank. Yeah. Indy the Philosopher?
And that was in middle school.
Ask Charlamagne what his rap name
was. What was your rap name?
Dizzy Van Winkle.
Like Dick Van Dyke.
No, like Dizzy. Like Rip Van Winkle mixed with Dizzy Devil.
Dick Van Dyke.
Remember Dizzy Devil from Looney Tunes? It was Tasmanian Devil, but then I think he had a son named Dizzy.
Dizzy Van Winkle.
Yeah, Dizzy Van Winkle. Oh, it was wild. Like, you know, Rip Van Winkle was sleep for mad long.
Mm.
And so I always felt like, you know, I was sleep for mad long, and then I woke up like mentally confused, so I was dizzy.
Oh, okay, got you. Because they were sleeping on you. No, I got you. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, you know what I mean? I was like, okay, they're sleeping on you. So
I was in middle school.
Yeah. We was in middle school. You did some wild shit.
Better for him. I think that's, you should.
No,
that should
up.
Be named.
Yeah, bro.
Now, you said that you learned so much from Will in 5 months. What are some of the things the Willie Llama taught you?
Willie Llama, right?
Yeah.
Nah, yo, it's been super enlightening for sure. You know, I feel like one of the bigger lessons that I've been taking with me, you know, I've been thinking about that a lot, is that he says, you know, don't let the success get to your head. Don't let the failures get to your heart.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I've taken that with me. I'm just like, man, like, there's a lot of noise. And there's a lot of things that come into this business that aren't about the work. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And to just stay about the work, because that's how you elevate. You know what I mean? That's how you inspire. That's what we do. That's why we do what we do.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Everything else around is kind of surrounding it, and it's like, okay, cool. That comes with the territory.
It's interesting, but, right? Because you want accolades, but those same accolades can make you a prisoner to the opinions of other people.
Yeah.
And you don't really want that.
Yeah, like, no.
You gotta stay in here with yourself.
Right, yeah. I mean, accolades are just, they're nice, you know what I mean, when they come around, but it's definitely all about the work for me.
Mm-hmm.
For me, you know what I mean? Because that's where I found my joy at. Like, you know what I mean? I find joy being here, you know what I mean? Just talking. But you know what I mean? When I'm doing my work, when I'm doing something that makes me happy, that's what it's all about for me. But you know what I mean? The awards that come with it, you know what I mean? Come with it.
So. When you thought about taking this or trying out for this, did you ever get nervous that you'd be always stuck as that character? Like, you look at Jaleel White, he's always stuck there.
No. I'm too dynamic for that.
Mm.
I knew that about myself. Like, I'm an artist that is transformative. You know what I mean? Like, I think you'll see that throughout the years. You know what I mean? I can transform And I always knew that about myself. Like, I was a totally different person a year ago, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You'll look at that person and be like, who the hell is that? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, and so I feel like down the line, mm-hmm. I want to take on roles that are going to give people a different perspective of about how a black person can be. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I'm super interested in being like, in fantasy movies, you know what I mean, and seeing
fantasy science fiction,
and just like show. You ever seen Lovecraft Country?
Hell yeah,
fire! You know what I'm saying? And like it was a moment where it was like, oh, like we can be, you know what I mean? We can exist in this type of, and it was like this was a period piece, but it was also fantasy, mm-hmm. but it was also drama, and it was also, you know, sci-fi. And
it also lasted one season.
It also lasted one season, right?
Could not imagine seeing all these black people doing this science fictional stuff. That's what it seemed like. We had a
you know, I think that came down to budget. You know what I mean?
But well, we had Ajinu,
Ellis.
We had Ajinu
the other day.
And that's what she said. She said she feels like HBO couldn't see black people in that space for a long period of time.
I'm interested in opening up that realm. Right. I'm interested in opening up that story. You know what I mean? And I feel like I don't ever want to get stuck in just the box of he's Fresh Prince or he's done this, you know what I mean? That's not me. And I don't think I'll ever be that person. You know what I mean?
You know, it's so interesting. That's such a great question Envy asked, because it's like that role is so iconic, right? Not just the role, because we're talking about, you know, there's a lot of iconic roles, but the person who played the role became an icon within itself.
Yeah.
So could you ever truly fill those shoes? I don't know if anybody would ever, and that's not a diss to you, I don't know if anybody would ever see you as the Fresh Prince.
Yeah, no, I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in, like, actually feeling, like, you know what I mean? I'm telling the story that I'm telling for a new generation at the end of the day, and this is opening up opportunity for me.
You know what I mean?
And this is, like, giving me access for me to open up opportunity for the next person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so my story is my story. Will's story is his story.
Yeah.
We're not the same. You know what I mean? And, like, I'm telling this story of the Fresh Prince, but, like, you know, I'm telling this story of a 16-year-old young man from Philly, like, mm-hmm. you know, gets sent to L.A., but at the end of the day, like, our stories aren't the same. And, nobody will ever be Will Smith. He's one-on-one. Mm-hmm. One-on-one. And Jabari Banks is one-on-one.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, that's
I wonder if you could even tell this story if it wasn't for, like, the reruns of Fresh Prince playing all the time now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I know what you mean. Yeah.
I wonder.
Yeah.
I wonder. How much do you relate to the character?
A lot, man. Okay. It's been a really meta experience, bro.
Mm,
you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In a way that it's like, when you see Will, you know, on Mulholland Drive with Jazz for the first time, he's like, damn, this shit is crazy. It's crazy. That's Jabari, too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so there's moments in the show where it's like, Will, the character, is having an experience and Jabari is having the same experience.
Wow.
And so it didn't feel like I was like, you know what I mean?
Well, you having it in real life.
I'm having it in real life, but it didn't feel like it was like I had to act. It's just like I had to exist. You know what I mean? I had to be. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so it makes sense. It's crazy, yeah.
Now, on social media, there's been a conversation on if Will is wrong for dating Carlton's ex. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
You know what I mean?
Not from a character perspective either, from a real life.
Real life?
Like, yeah.
Shit happens, bro.
Yeah.
That's like your brother, though.
That's not my brother. You know what I mean?
The same house.
That's not my brother, bro.
Your cousin. Like,
no, it's my cousin. I don't know him. You know what I mean? I don't know him. And like, when you have a connection with somebody, you can't run away from that. It's like, damn, bro.
That's your family, though.
He's already racked his brain. It's like, damn, I know. I see the history. I know the history. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But when you have that connection with somebody, it's like, what can we do?
Yeah.
You felt that. You felt that, bro. It's like, I shouldn't be doing this right now, but.
Don't leave around Jabari.
Yeah,
come on. You know this. You know this, though. Be honest with yourself.
But
there's always been that person in your life where you're like,
now I've been married 21 years, bro.
I married her.
Right now, you've been married 21 years. Okay, he different.
I married her. I've been with my wife for 24. We've been married for since 2014. We've been together for like 24 years.
But when you were 16,
I was with my wife. I was 16. She was 15. Dragon.
Holy. Damn. Yeah, I don't know who I'm talking about.
What are you trying to say, though? You trying to say like there's a one, when you meet certain women, you just know.
It's a connection that's undeniable.
Yeah, it's undeniable. You know what I mean? It's just like it's not like, and it just surpasses all, you know what I mean, understanding. It's like, yeah, I understand that there's this history there, but, you know, I have these feelings.
That's a good perspective. I didn't look at it like that. I looked at it like, yo, cuz. That ain't the one you should wife, because I smashed.
I mean, I feel you,
that's
but
how I looked at
you know, when Will first met Lisa, like, he wasn't like, oh, this is Carlton's ex. He was like, who was this girl?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like, that initial thought, is what's been driving him throughout the season.
Got you.
Okay.
Got you.
You know?
You know what I just thought about? It's ironic that your name, your last name is really Banks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You might have been really meant to play this role.
You know
man.
What I mean? I feel that way. It's definitely been an experience that has been a spiritual one for all of us. You know what I mean? Like, there's each player in our ensemble has something in our lives that has twisted us and intertwined us with this project and aligned us with this project.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's divine.
All right, well, Jabari, we appreciate you for joining us. What's next for Jabari?
What's next for Jabari?
Yes.
Clothing coming soon. Music coming soon. And
kind of music? Because you know they're going to be expecting Fresh Prince. Parents just don't understand.
No. It's totally different than that.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
What kind of music?
I said, Will is one-on-one. Jabari is one-on-one. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So, yeah. I'm doing my own stuff. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm marrying R&B and hip-hop in a way that hasn't been done before. You know what I'm saying? I'm still trying to figure that out. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Still trying to find my voice in that. You know what I mean? It's like, I always say, like, I feel like Drake and Don Toliver are marrying R&B and hip-hop in a specific way, but totally different ways.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Totally different voices. And I'm trying to find my voice in that.
Gotcha.
You know?
Just pay homage to the OG Ja Rule, too.
Yeah.
Now, are they keeping you in the family? Like, is Charlie Mack trying to manage you, or is he managing
you? Yo, you know what's crazy? I auditioned for Charlie Mack. He was making a boy band called Brotherly Love. Mm-hmm. And he was like developing this band, and I auditioned for him like years ago.
Wow.
And I didn't make it. And I seen him on the red carpet, and I was like, yo, Charlie, you remember me? He was like, yeah, I remember you. You know what I mean? And, you know, he was trying to hit on my mom and shit, but yeah. You know, Charlie, you know.
Charlie!
No, Charlie's a guy, though, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shout out to Charlie Mack.
Shout out to Charlie Mack.
Big shout out to Charlie Mack.
It's Jabari Banks.
Seriously.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Thank you, bro. So Jabari's still here, ladies and gentlemen. And the last thing he says, y'all ain't gonna have me rap? We was trying to save you, Jabari. Sit your ass back down,
you
Jabari. Sit your ass back down.
Oh,
Now, you know Charlamagne will give you, will fart on your bars if they're trash, so.
Charlamagne don't fart on
Okay. That's the
truth. Let me hear.
Like.
Me.
In West Philadelphia.
Born
All right, let's go. Jabari's here. Let's hear something, Jabari.
Give me a beat.
Too much for you?
Huh? It just started.
Okay.
Hey, Michael.
Hold on. Turn me up. Turn me up. Yeah. Hold on. Here you go. Okay. Yeah. Have you adjusted? They ask how you been coping the past 6 months with everything that's been happening now. Now I'm back on they ass. Hold on. All right, got you. Have you adjusted? They ask how you been coping the past 6 months with everything that's been happening now. Barry been back on they ass. Billboard hurting they necks. Looking up like how the fuck this shit happened so fast. Now I'm on Fallon doing dances I did in my room. MJ sparkled the suit. Let's go. Hold on. All right, let's go. You get us on camera? Man, turn that shit up. Yeah, we freestyling. I'm up now. What's up? I said, I'm gonna turn this world upside down. Yeah, told bitch, niggas don't fuck with me. Yeah, I love that bitch. She lovely. And she in love with me. And she know this. Baby, I know you know this. Baby, I keep you focused. Baby, I keep you loving me. Hold on. All right, bet. I need some water.
I'm nodding my head to the beat now, not your ass.
Hold on.
I'm nodding my head.
My fault, Michael. You're crazy. Right? You, man. Hold on.
Oh, Philly. Now you can't this up. Jabari. You can up the Brooklyn Beach. You cannot up the freeway joint.
I need some current
You want some current Like what? Name it.
Some lit
Play WAP. No, not WAP. Play.
He clowning.
Play.
Michael. Get me out of here.
Hold on. Find the freeway in Philly.
Yeah.
Even though what we do is wrong. You got some writtens?
Nah, bro.
You got some writtens a cappella you can do?
Nah, bro.
Let's go.
We still hustle till the sun come up.
Jabari.
Damn. Keep going.
Keep going, keep flowing. You know what it is. If you got a dream, you got to get the shish. I don't care what they say, because I've been this way. I don't care what they say, because I've been that guy. Riding in the car, and I'm just so fly. I don't need a pilot. I don't need a stylist. I don't count the mileage. I just do the shish, and I do it for the fun of it. Do it for the hell of it. Do it for the shish, and I'm super celibate. I don't know, bitch. I don't know. Can I curse? I can curse, right?
Yes, sir.
Breakfast Club, I need some bacon, cause I know these niggas hating, yo. Straight rap, straight like that. That's niggas, yeah, this way, this, that's,
still bobbing my head to the beat, not your racks. Distracted.
This nigga think that he can rap, but he a bitch, though.
Ask me if you dope, ask me if you dope.
He said what?
Ask me if you dope. just ask me if you dope.
Hold on, bro, am I dope?
Nah.
Cut this part out, bro. Hold on. Give me another one.
Nope.
Give me another one.
But watch Bel Air every Thursday on Peacock.
Give me another one.
You're a great
one.
Actor.
Give me another one.
Oh, Lord.
Give me another one, bro.
Okay. You want?
Bro, put me in 2022.
Give him a 2022. Give him Super Gremlin. Super Gremlin. Kodak Black.
I love that song.
We got Kodak Black, Super Gremlin.
All right.
Barry, I'm not doing this with you after this eight now.
Okay. I know.
Last one.
I know. This is the last one. Hold on, because we can cut and paste, right? Yeah, we can cut and paste.
We got to show him this in his raw form. So stop. When your music does come out, he says, stop.
All right, come on. What are you doing?
So when your music comes out this summer, you can be like, see, I was better than I was on Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Next. What else we got in there from 2022, Envy? It's a good one.
Bitch, I got my own fight on these security in the club.
You don't have to do this.
I'm out of here.
You really don't.
Oh, you don't have to do this.
You don't have to do this.
Like, why?
You're not even here for this.
Oh, my God. Hey, yo. I just want to say that I did it because I did it. You know what I mean?
Right. You know.
Will Bungie jumped. You rapped on Breakfast Club.
Exactly.
You got to get over your feet.
Next time I come back, I have some
Oh, man.
Shout out to Jabari for stopping through.
Jabari Banks. Make sure y'all watch Bel-Air on Peacock. All 8 episodes are up right now.
That's right.
All right.
All right. Morning, everybody. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Nicki Minaj.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Well, Nicki Minaj and Coi Leray's recent collaboration, Blick Blick, is going crazy.
A hard record.
Mm-hmm.
And Coi Leray and Nicki Minaj went on live together and discussed a lot of things. Coi expressed her experience and her frustrations with dealing with hate. And here's what Nicki had to say.
You know, even through the hate, grinded through that.
Can you girls stop talking about hate? I have never experienced hate like the way this guy right here, me, has experienced it. Y'all have just experienced some of the growing pains of artistry and, like,
right.
of social media. Like, y'all be thinking y'all have experienced hate, and trust me, you ain't experienced it yet.
Right.
Okay? A lot of y'all have gotten really, not coddled, but y'all have been, people have been nice. People have been, like, gentle with y'all. Like,
all right, now, there was some backlash on social media for these comments, and Nicki went on social media and said, from now on, my advice is going to be, yeah, bitch, it was bad for you. It only gets worse. It never gets better. Get out while you can. It's ruining your life, bitch. They never hated on me like they hating you, child. That's because you suck, and I never sucked as hard as you, bitch. Run, LMFAO. And then she goes on to talk about her own experiences, how she sucked at her singing audition for Performing Arts High School and was crying. She said, if all you get is coddled when you complain, you'll feel the world owes you, and you'll never mentally develop the armor you need to navigate through your career. People using sympathy for every rollout isn't going to sustain them over time. You're going to get some hate. That's life.
Yeah, I mean, Coi Leray has experienced a lot of hate as well.
Yes, she
has.
You
know what I mean? Cardi B has experienced a lot of hate. Megan Thee Stallion definitely experiences a lot of hate. So,
Not like Nikki, though. I will say not like Nikki.
You Megan? Nikki? I don't know,
we
bro.
Can't. I don't want to quantify.
Nikki's whole state didn't mess with Nikki at first. Remember, New York didn't mess with Nikki.
But that's just because y'all's always slow when it comes to new towns.
But I will feel like going viral on social media now and how they post clips of like people booing Coi Leray. I know it's difficult.
Yeah,
yes. So I can't say who gets more hate than who, but
nah,
everybody
a lot of hate
does
they
deal
all
with
do.
It.
They all do. But you know,
right.
From that
so Coi Leray,
it sounded crazy from the little clip. But it was a full, what, hour and a half where they had a conversation where they were bigging each other up?
Well, Coi Leray responded also on social media. She said, y'all too emotional. Nikki been through a lot. She's still standing strong, still dropping hits. She basically told me, don't let y'all whack-ass comments and negative energy stop me now because more money and success, more problems. So thug that ish out. Nikki, don't offend me. I grew up on tough love. When someone is speaking who has more experience, always listen. That's the problem. Y'all talk too damn much. Regardless of what she's saying, she coming from a good space.
Yeah, and it's not the hate Olympics, no. Right? Like, we don't need to sit around and talk about who receives right. more hate. Like,
they all did.
They all definitely do. But if we were giving out gold medals.
And then Nikki said, 36 minutes
Megan
of positivity,
right
fun,
so,
and uplifting each other.
Yes.
But this is what gets posted. This proves my point. The next sentence out of my mouth was why I came to her defense when I saw her beating up on herself and let her know this too shall pass. It's not invalidating her experience. It's giving her a different perspective so that she puts on the armor she needs to be a superstar. If I didn't validate her experience, I wouldn't have spoken up for her when she got down on herself. I would have said, suck it up. I'm trying to tell her, F these people and win.
Yeah, and Nikki's hate is different, though, right? Because Nikki, I think Nikki just got backlash because she was winning so much, mm-hmm. You know?
No, before that, you remember the whole East Coast didn't really mess with Nikki at first.
Where are you getting this from?
Yeah,
nobody played Nikki's record. Nikki has said it's a zillion
Envy,
times.
When will you realize that a lot of y'all DJs in New York just don't be knowing what's coming next
from
your own city?
Not even the radio. Nobody supported Nikki.
You didn't
from
support
New
50
York.
Like that either.
Yes, we did.
No,
we
you did.
50.
Not till he rebranded himself with
no.
G Unit.
That's wrong.
And
wrong.
Dre and all them got behind.
All right.
That.
Well,
that
while we're talking about
so
these
why,
women,
so
and
why
then,
a label outside of New York signed him and
is,
Nikki?
That is wrong. 50
right.
actually got a bunch of deals from New York people. I don't
ladies,
know if you know.
we gotta wrap this up.
Okay, sis.
You know, I wanted to talk about Latto, but we'll do that in the next hour as she talks about issues she had with putting her album out and securing a feature. And we'll tell you what she had to say about that, but we'll do that in the next hour.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that is your rumor report.
All right. Charlamagne, who you want to get your donkey to?
Well, you were very concerned about this at like 12:30 on a Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
So we need the owners of Fetchco. Fetchco is a dog in North Carolina who is allegedly gay. And he got left for the dog shelter. We'll talk about it 4 after the hour. And Envy has a plan to rescue him, but we'll discuss.
I hate you, man. All right, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
I teamed up with Zyrtec for this allergy relief message. Springtime brings vibrancy to the air and pollen. So I take Zyrtec when allergy symptoms start. Save the tissues and live vibrantly with Zyrtec. Starts working at hour one and stays strong day after day.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Don't be out here acting like a donkey.
Hee-haw, bitch. Hee-haw.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
I'm a big boy. I can take it. If he feel I deserve it, ain't no big deal.
I know Charlamagne guy gonna have some funny slick say out his mouth.
Just because I say something you may not agree with doesn't mean I'm mean.
Who's getting that donkey?
That donkey. That donkey.
Donkey of the day right there.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
You can call me the donkey of the day, but like, I mean no harm.
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Monday, March 21st goes to the people in Stanley County, North Carolina, who decided to dump their dog off at a local shelter because they thought their dog was gay. You heard me, right? Some owners of a dog named Fesco dumped the dog off at a local animal shelter because they thought Fesco was homosexual. Oh, y'all don't believe me? Y'all think I'm making this up? Well, let's go to WCCB Charlotte for the report, please.
Tonight, a local dog shelter, or a local shelter dog, is looking for a soft landing after being dumped by his owners because they say he's gay.
Thought you heard it all, right? A Stanley County Animal Shelter Facebook post says the dog's owner surrendered him to the shelter after he humped another male dog, which dogs do. Fesco, the shelter says, it's about 4 to 5 years old, weighs about 50 pounds. They say he likes other people. He likes other animals. He's a good boy. The shelter is asking for local rescues to step up and take Fesco into foster before he is adopted.
Now, Sunday morning, I got a text from Rashawn Casey.
That's me.
Otherwise known as DJ Envy. That I saw when I woke up. Because one thing about your Uncle Charlotte, Brother Leonard, he going to get his sleep. All right? But this text came at 12:29 a.m. And it was a headline from Hollywood Unlocked that said, dog abandoned at animal shelter for being gay. And then Envy texted me and said, we have to rescue him. Why did you feel this way, Envy? Let's discuss. Why did you feel we need to go rescue this dog? Talk to me.
I mean, I just think it's foul.
Okay.
You just leave the dog, abandon the dog because you think the dog is gay? Like, okay. I think that's foul. I sent that to you and M-Eazy. And I think that we should have rescued the dog.
So you're going to get the dog?
We. Together. As a,
I don't have a dog.
As friends.
I don't like dogs.
Well,
you going to get the dog?
I think we should.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I you know, don't respect these owners' decisions simply because they clearly know nothing about dogs. Okay, if you are homophobic, a dog should not be your pet of choice. Now, I personally don't think dogs have a sexual preference. Dogs are just dogs, okay? Dogs will hump anything. That's why it's so insulting when people call men dogs because, like, damn, men have standards. All men don't go around humping anything, but dogs do. They hump any and everything. It's a common play gesture, okay, that male and female dogs do. Even if the dog has been neutered or spayed, they still hump any and everything simply because they can. Okay, all you homophobic dog owners, when your male dog humps your leg, do you feel your dog is gay? Let's discuss. Okay, here's something you may not know. Male dogs have gay sex under a variety of circumstances. All right, dogs mount other dogs as a sign of dominance, and sometimes that mounting can involve anal penetration. Do you also know that when exposed to a female in heat, groups of frustrated males sometimes engage in homosexual sex? If you're a homophobic, a dog probably is not the best pet for you, right? Not to mention, you know, the humping of other dogs, I guess, could be considered gay, but that's like one of the top three gayest things dogs do. Most dogs will lick their testicles when they are bored. Yes, dogs lick their own testicles out of either boredom, stress, irritation, infection, or allergies. It is also possible dogs have inflamed or infected anal glands. So they're not licking for no reason. It's always a reason. You're going to sit here and tell me you've never seen a dog lick not only his testicles, but a another dog's testicles as well. Yes, these things happen for the same reasons. They might sense a minor infection or even an anal gland issue on another dog, and they will get to licking that dog's privates too. This doesn't make them gay. It makes them dogs. Now, I would like to ask the owners of this dog in North Carolina, did you not ever see your dog licking his testicles? Did you never see your dog licking another dog's testicles? That didn't bother you, did it? You know why? Because you understand that's what dogs do. Just like male dogs hump other male dogs for dominance, it happens. They're dogs. The rules of humans don't apply to dogs. If you saw a man on the street trying to lick his own testicles, you would call someone to have him committed. If you saw a man on the street licking another man's testicles, you would yell out, "Pause!" Okay? But those rules don't apply to dogs because they're dogs. Also, is it gay for a man to lick his own testicles? Discuss amongst yourselves. We're talking about dogs here. Now, the gayest thing I'm sure homophobic dog owners think dogs do is butt sniffing. Butt sniffing is a totally normal dog behavior. Those owners of the dog named Fesco in Stanley, North Carolina, never ever thought to give their dog away because the dog was sniffing another dog's butt. You know why? It's because they understand this is what dogs do. All right? Dogs sniff other dogs' butts, and it allows dogs to get to know each other. They can learn about another dog's identity, gender, health, mood, diet, whether they've met before. See, when you hear that, you think, don't you think media platforms and how they track your behavior, that's not so weird, huh? It's not so weird now, right? Media platforms track your Facebook, your IG, your Twitter likes, and Google searches to generate a general idea of what your interests are. Dogs have to sniff each other's butts to figure out all that information. Now that I think about it, it's kind of the same difference, but that's not the point. The point is, those owners in Stanley County, North Carolina, who dropped their dog off for being gay are getting donkey of the day simply because you didn't drop your dog off for being gay. You dropped your dog off for being a dog, all right? That's what dogs do. They hump other dogs, even male dogs, out of dominance. They lick their own testicles. They lick the testicles of other dogs if there is some type of infection. And they sniff other dogs' butts, male or female. So what's the issue here? Dogs shall be dogs, okay? The moral of this story is every dog has its gay. Please give the owners in North Carolina who abandoned Fesco the dog for thinking he was gay the biggest hee-haw. What are we doing, America? Come on. Dogs can't even be dogs now.
Nope.
Huh?
Poor dog.
Find the animal shelter name. You about to get a new dog?
Mm-hmm.
Get you a new dog.
All right.
Well, then you think Gucci called your other dog a punk-ass dog. Wait till you go get Fesco. Go get it. Go get it.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today.
Yes.
Y'all want to open up the phone lines, talk to the people about this?
This is very much common, and I didn't know. I didn't know until I was, doing my research this morning. About research, I mean, Googling. This isn't even the first time that people have dropped their dogs off at animal shelters thinking their dogs were gay, and I am so confused by this.
Okay. Well, let's open up the phone lines. Let's talk to the people. 800-585-1051. What is the question? What are we asking people this morning?
Do you have a gay dog? I don't even think that's possible. Have you ever thought your dog was gay? I didn't know this was so common.
It's not even anything I thought about.
My dog is fluid.
Yo, shut up.
That's what I would think dogs are, because they do it to male or female. This isn't just behaviors regulated
not
to
not even that, but to males. Inanimate objects.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
pillows, sofas, legs.
Let's discuss. All right. Need to know.
My furry slipper. My dog loves my furry slipper.
I need to know. Is this something you ever even thought about? Or you just realize dogs are dogs?
All right. 800-585-1051. Let's talk about it. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with The Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, Charlamagne gave donkey today to who, Charlamagne?
There are these former pet owners in Stanley County, North Carolina, who decided they'd dump their dog off at a local shelter because they said their dog was gay. The reason they thought their dog was gay, because their dog humped another male dog. Now, if you know anything about dogs, you know that male dogs hump other male dogs out of dominance. Male dogs also do things like lick their own testicles. And they'll lick the testicles of another dog, too, if that dog has some injuries or some infections, And they sniff other male dogs' butts. That's what dogs do. Okay, they're dogs.
I agree. But I mean, the fact that he dropped the dog off at the AS, whatever the pound, is wow.
This isn't rare. I've seen this. Like, really? I mean, when I did research this morning, there's been quite a few cases of pet owners dropping their dogs off at animal shelters thinking their dogs are gay. These gotta be first-time dog owners who don't understand dogs.
All right, well, 800-585-1051. We're asking, I guess, have you had a gay dog before? Yee, what about you?
I love my dog no matter what her preference is, but she humps everything. I've never really seen her hump another dog, though. I really see her hump a lot of objects. That's it.
And by the way, dogs do this whether they got privates or not. You can cut a dog's penis off, right, and it'll still hump on things. It'll still sniff butts. It'll still lick in that area.
My dog is faded, and she definitely was doing a lot of humping just recently. I have video of it, actually.
It's just a playful gesture that dogs do. They're dogs.
She was getting it in, and then she was exhausted.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, y'all. What's up, Envy? Hey, Yee. What's up, Char?
Hey, Trav.
Trav, we said, have you ever had a gay dog? Not, are you a gay dog?
No, listen. This is a teaching moment, because I've definitely dropped off a gay homeless dog at the shelter before. His name was Dre.
Why would you do that?
He was a DL homeless, because he was a DL homeless dog. He was cheating on me.
What are you talking about?
How is a dog cheating on you?
This is not a metaphor, Trav. We're talking about actual animals, canines.
Yeah, I'm talking about this gay homeless dog.
Okay.
All right.
He's calling a guy a dog.
Have a good day, Trav.
He's so
Jesus
stupid.
Christ,
he
Trav.
Is triggered. Goodness. Hello, who's this?
Yeah, this Arkansas rapper Khaled Jackson. What's going on?
What's up?
Man, you said that fast. All I caught was Arkansas.
What's going on, bro?
Not much, man. In this traffic, driving with no license. You know what I'm saying? Trying to get to the money.
Okay. I feel you. Just driving with no license. Do what you got to do.
That's right.
All right. Now, have you ever thought your dog was gay, sir?
For one, I ain't never had no dog. I'm scared of dogs. I got bit in the butt by a dog when I was like 6 one time.
Okay.
Was it a male dog?
But at the same time, what makes a dog gay? Because, you know what I'm saying, if a pit bull bark like, do it make it gay? If it's meow, do it make it gay? Like,
wait, can you do that?
Like what?
Yeah, can you do that again?
It don't make sense.
If he barks like what?
It don't make sense. Like, if a dog, but it's a big dog, you know what I'm saying? What makes a dog gay?
I agree with you. Dogs are dogs. Dogs exhibit behaviors that, you know, they sniff each other's butts, they lick each other's testicles, you know, they hump each other, male on male. Like, that's not gay. That's just a dog being a dog.
Okay. Hello, who's this?
This is Victoria. Good morning, everybody.
Hey, Victoria. Good morning.
So, I was calling to weigh in this morning about if you feel like your dog is gay or not.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
So we had a Shih Tzu years ago, and he literally, if he didn't have anybody, any other dog to hump, he would hump stuffed animals. He hump our legs. Uh-huh. He hump our kids' legs. Anything. It didn't matter. I think if dogs don't have that, if they don't have anything to satisfy their urges, they're just going to hump whatever's close to them.
Right.
I don't think that makes them gay.
Yeah, humping is just a playful gesture that dogs do. It's just, and it's probably because they just don't know it's not right. You know what I mean? Like,
well, maybe it is right for them.
Yeah,
it's their nature.
I guess. Yeah, it's their nature. Yeah.
All right. Well, 800-585-1051. We're asking, have you ever owned a dog that you thought was gay? Now, this came from Charlamagne giving Donkey the Data. Who's Charlamagne?
These pet owners in North Carolina who decided they dropped their dog off at a shelter because they thought their dog was gay.
All right. We'll get to it next. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Call me.
Add your opinion to the Breakfast Club topic.
Come on.
800-585-1051.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, if you're just joining us, we're talking about, have you ever owned a dog that you thought was gay? Now, this came from Charlamagne Donkey today.
Which makes no sense. Stanley County, North Carolina, a couple of dog owners there decided to dump their dog off at a local shelter, a dog named Fesco, because they thought their dog was gay. The reason they thought their dog was gay was because their dog humped another male dog, which is what dogs do. They hump other male dogs as a sign of dominance. Okay, that's dog behavior.
And I give my dog her space when she does that. I just let her do her thing. I back up.
That's right.
You know, nice of you. That's
turn
nice
my head.
And you need to, because they skeet off sometime too.
Nah, she doesn't.
They do. Oh, she's a woman though. That's why. The male dog will hump a chair and skeet off.
But randomly, she licks the floor after. I'm like, but there's nothing there. She doesn't, and then she starts licking every on the floor.
You know, sometimes they follow what their owners do. And, but anyway. Hello, who's this?
What are you trying to say about Yee?
Hello?
That sounds like an HR violation to me. Why would you say that?
That's her boyfriend.
You think I licked the floor?
Wow.
Hello, who's this?
Hello, good morning. It's Nikhil from Houston. Good morning, everyone.
We're talking about, have you ever owned a dog that you thought was gay?
Yes, I was thinking about that, and I heard the subject. I was like, wow, this is crazy, because we went through this before. A couple of years back, I was in a lesbian relationship, and I had a pair of pit bulls, and they took on the personalities of me and my partner. So I had one that was real prissy and had more of a femme, I guess you would say, personality as me, and then the other one was real stocky and had more of a dominant personality. Real stocky, walked around the house like she owned everything, and they just really had our personality. So we really knew that we had a pair of lesbian pits. It was really, really funny.
All right.
Damn. Okay.
Well, thank you.
You know, sometimes dogs do end up looking like their owners, too.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Tanya, calling from Richmond, Texas.
Hey, good morning. Have you ever owned a dog that you thought was gay?
I didn't think he was gay, but he used to hump everything.
But he just was horny.
Just horny. The air, the mat, his bed, his toys, our legs. And then my nephew would go, oh, my God, Tanya's being nasty.
That's what dogs do, though. It's just a common play gesture. Male and female dogs do it. Don't matter if they neutered or spayed, they hump things.
Everything. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, no, I don't think dogs are gay. I just think
this is
dogs.
Wild. I'm not going to lie. I got to meet these owners in Stanley County, North Carolina. We might be digging too deep in this until we see them, and then they ain't got no teeth, and you know what I mean? We get it. You know what I mean? It sound like a couple of hillbillies who don't got no goddamn sense.
Well, what's the moral of the story, guys?
The moral of the story is every dog has his gay. Okay? That's just what dogs do. They sniff each other's butts. They lick each other's testicles. They hump any and everything. Male dogs hump other male dogs as a sign of dominance. Every dog has its gay. If that's what y'all want to call gay nowadays, fine. Okay? I just call it being a dog.
All right. We got rumors on the way, Yee?
Yes, and let's talk about Latto and what she had to say about the difficulties working on her album.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yeah.
Rumor report, rumor report. This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, Latto was on Big Boy, and she was talking about some of the struggles that she has faced as a woman in the rap game. She's getting ready to release her 777 project, and she talked about an unnamed artist who refused to clear the verse simply because she didn't return their DM.
I'm clearing my album right now, and it's been, like, difficult to deal with these men, you know what I'm saying? They don't know how to keep it business, and then they want to, like...
What do you mean by that?
It's a feature on my album that it was like it was difficult to clear, and they like trying to drop their n**s on me because I won't respond to a DM.
Wow,
yeah. Really? Yeah. Is it and without saying a name, but is it artist or producer or somebody?
Artist.
Oh wow.
Artist. Yeah.
And they'll still be on the album?
Yeah, just because I love the song so much, and I had to turn it in yesterday, so I didn't really have a choice. So I was like backed into a corner, like bully.
Damn, I'm sorry that she had to go through that.
But if you're the guy now you don't want to be on the album, right?
You should apologize.
For sure. But if you also don't want to be on the album at this point, right? Because okay. You're like everybody going.
Well, that's your come fault. At you for you that. Did something.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure the track listing is out. What artists on the album?
See, exactly.
I'm just curious.
Now you want to be Mr. Detective?
Well, why you search that? She was on Twitter and she said, I'm sad. I'm going through a lot with this album. I hope I'm able to share with y'all what really goes on. I feel like I've been stripped of my excitement. People have taken big moments away from me and it's effed up. It's hard to celebrate my first tour and new album right now. So definitely sorry that she's had to go through that. But she talks about a lot of different things. She also talks about her love life in this interview.
When I do get home to my man, I'm tired. Like, I don't even have the energy sometimes, like, to even just carry a conversation.
What was it about him that made you go, I want him to be my boyfriend?
His aura. Like, he just a stand-up man. Mm-hmm. Like, I like a real traditional old-school man. Like,
that's real what she said, though. When you find somebody that understands that silence don't mean nothing other than I'm tired,
Oh, when y'all could just be silent around each other and y'all don't have to talk to each other just because y'all both understand the assignment of sleep? Woo! That's amazing.
All right, now let's talk about the first ever Marvel comic book. And there was an online auction, and Thursday night, the buyer's name has not been disclosed. They said he's an extremely passionate comic book collector and investor who also collects other items.
Mm-hmm.
But this comic book sold Thursday night. You know how much?
How much? $2.4
million. $2.4 million.
You bought it?
No, but I saw that story.
Said it pretty fast.
I'm a comic book guy.
Now, it says this very well-preserved paid copy is especially sought after. It bears the publisher's handwritten notes recording how much the multiple writers and artists were paid. And, like, for example, the artist who did the drawing for the cover of the book made $25 doing that. But this was published in 1939.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was not recent.
2.4 is a lot. I thought, for some reason, I would think it would be a little bit more, but I get it.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, Jada is clearing the air about a rumored relationship or, like, text message conversation.
Now, what's Jada now? Kiss
with
Bow
Wow. Now, Jada is Lil Baby's girlfriend, off and on. So it looks like they broke up. She had posted, "Everything comes to an end. Never force it. Be happy. I'm finally standing up." And then she said, "I'm for real. Y'all LMFAO. We gonna talk about it. Y'all will see." And she said, "I'm willing to X anybody out for my happiness and peace." And then she said, "I post my own tea so I can clown myself before I get clowned. Because it's cold out here. I don't know how this gonna go." And so she said all of those things. Now Lil Baby posted a meme and said, "When an MF think they can play with me." And then she said, "Think they can play with you, LMFAO. You played with me for 6 years straight. I texted and we're back. Now your chest hurt. Bye." Then there was a rumor that she was texting Bow Wow back. I don't know where this rumor came from, but here's what she had to say.
"No shade to Bow Wow, but where are y'all getting that from? It's not giving it."
So she's letting y'all know she don't know where that came from. And it's not a text message back to Bow Wow. All right, now Soulja Boy is expecting a boy, so congratulations to him. He had actually posted, "I have everything I want in life except for a son. God, please bless me. I've been patient." And then he did have a gender reveal, and he was super excited when he posted the video from it, and he said, "It's a boy." So you can see he's running around excited and embracing and kissing the soon-to-be mother of his child. All right, now Burner is fortunately cancer-free. He went on his social media page, and he said, "The fight is nowhere near over. It's a lifelong battle. But currently, after my last tests, I'm cancer-free at the moment, and it feels great." If you guys recall, when he was on The Breakfast Club, here's what he had to say.
"And are you cancer-free now?"
"Yeah, no." "Okay." So they removed about a foot and a half from the colon, and they removed some lymph nodes around it. And I thought it was in the clear. I thought it was good. And they said everything, they did the biopsy, everything came back negative for cancer. But because it was a late stage 2, almost a stage 3, and they said they did some like research on the blood floating around, they might feel like it might try to find another home. So they're recommending right when I get back to the West Coast, chemo for like 3 to 6 months, which is like my biggest nightmare. But I feel like, man, I'm so blessed to have found it.
Thank God. And he posted, "Chemo was tough. I'm glad I did it and feel positive about my future. More greens, more life, and less stress moving forward. I do want all my followers to stay vigilant about your bodies. I talked with my oncologist yesterday, and the rise in cases for the Black and brown community and colon cancer is extremely high, especially for people in their 30s, and that is scary as hell. If I didn't address and find this when I did, I would have been dead in 6 months to a year."
Word. Definitely sending a burn of healing energy. And he went and got checked when he was in his 30s?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Because, you know, now they tell you that the age used to be 50. Now they're saying it's 45.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, if you got a history of it in your family, you should go ASAP, I guess.
Yep.
All right. Well, that is your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Up next is the People's Choice Mix. Get your request in. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Angela Yee here, and the General Insurance has been saving people money for nearly 60 years. So if you want quality insurance for less, take a closer look at the General. Call 800-GENERAL or visit thegeneral.com. The General Auto Insurance Services, Inc., an insurance agency, Nashville, Tennessee. Some restrictions apply.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let me shout out to everybody out in Atlanta. I was in Atlanta over the weekend. Logan had a 7-on-7 football tournament. So shout out to, I love when I go to Atlanta. I get to eat so well. Shout out to BQE Restaurant I love. Shout out to Hyde
And shout out to Bar Vegan. So I went to all those restaurants and got some great food while
Vegan.
I was out there.
That
had
is
a good
my
time while I was out there.
That is my spot. And you know, today we are talking about resetting your body. And Queen Afua is going to be with us at Juices for Life in Brooklyn. So we'll be streaming that live too. So in case you can't make it in person, she will be able to let you guys see that. Erica Ford will be there. It's going to be an amazing event from 5 to 8 tonight at Juices for Life. But you'll be able to also watch it on the stream and learn about detoxing and the benefits of that and eating better and more healthy, as we've just been talking about this just a lot lately.
All right. And shout to Jabari Banks for joining us. You know, he plays Will Smith in Bel-Air, so shout to him for stopping through.
That's right. And he has to understand that he does not have to be the Fresh Prince everywhere that he goes, okay? Fresh Prince was a great rapper. From what we saw this morning, Jabari Banks, not so much. But a phenomenal actor. So check out Bel-Air on Peacock. All 8 episodes are available right now for your viewing pleasure.
All right. When we come back, we got the positive notice, The Breakfast Club. Good morning. EJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. All right. It's time to get up out of here. You got a positive note?
I do, man. I just want to tell y'all it's Monday. So set the tone for your week with a healthy meal, a great workout, and God's word. Remember, goals are met with consistent daily choices. You've got this.
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Y'all finished or y'all done?
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.